Good morning and welcome to Start the Week, a ministry of Salem Reformed Church, Ashley, North Dakota. I am James Grossman, pastor at Salem Reformed, and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. As we turn to God's Word this morning, we turn to Galatians chapter 5. We'll be looking at the first 15 verses as our text this morning. So let us hear together the Word of Almighty God. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Thus far the reading of God's Word, may He add His blessing to it. As we open God's Word this morning, we see again the reminder to the Israelites and to us today that we need to be very careful not to turn back from the free grace which we have in Jesus Christ, back to the law, to be saved somehow through the ideas of man and through the things that we could do somehow to save ourselves. This is a very dangerous and yet a very common idea and doctrine today. We need to understand that we are not saved by our works. We are saved through Jesus Christ, through what He has done on the behalf of Christians, in giving His life, in living perfectly on the behalf of Christians. And so as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is that God's people are not called backward to law, but forward in the liberty of faith. God's people are not called backwards to the law, but forward in the liberty of faith. In the first 6 verses, we see that we are to stand in Christian liberty. In verses 7 through 12, we see that unbiblical leaven troubles the church. And in verses 13 through 15, we see that liberty is not an opportunity for the flesh to do things according to the flesh. We see that we are to stand in Christian liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. We're to stand in the liberty which Christ has purchased for us, not to be entangled in liberty in slavery to sin. Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Going back to some sort of salvation by works is going back to slavery to sin and to the law. Acts 15, verse 10, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That we must understand, that we can't bear the yoke of being perfectly obedient to the law. And yet, if we go back to the law, if we go back to salvation somehow by my works, however it might be that I somehow save myself, we are in bondage to live according to the whole law to keep it. We're not talking just about what we do with babies here in circumcision, but what we do ceremonial in the church. We do not go back to the law to be saved by it. In fact, nobody was ever saved by obedience to the law. We are directed by the law to Christ. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And going back to Romans 9, verses 31 through 32, but Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, and of course that stumbling stone is Jesus Christ. They did not seek to obey the law according to faith, is what Paul says to the Romans. And we need to understand that the only way of salvation, the only hope that anyone ever has, is in Jesus Christ. We eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, we read. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. I don't think there's much stronger words he could use there. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, Romans 3, verse 20. And so we have the righteousness not of somehow working and being acceptable in that way. We have the righteousness as Christians of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And unbiblical leaven then troubles the whole church. We see that in verses 7 through 12. They previously had run well the faith. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Paul asks. Jumping back to Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? They had previously run well, but they're not, now they're hindered. And he says this persuasion is not from God. The one who calls you, he says, it's not from him. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. This seemingly small doctrine, this seemingly small sidestep is dangerous to the whole doctrine of the gospel. If we say somehow that we can add to it, we are in grave danger of being required to do everything that the law requires of us. And yet this is a very popular, sadly, doctrine in the church today, that somehow we have to add, that somehow my faith, my belief is an addition to what Jesus Christ has done. That is a very dangerous and damnable doctrine. We have to understand that. And Paul's confidence, even as he gives these Galatians a great amount of trouble about this, is that God will keep them in the truth. We see that in verse 10, I have confidence in you in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is, verse 10 says. And so we have the perseverance of the saints, that God will hold them in the truth. Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And so, Paul's confidence isn't in their faith, even. It is in Christ. It is in what Christ has done for them. And Paul wishes that the circumcisers would cut themselves off. And yes, this is a play on circumcision, but he is especially wishing that they would remove themselves from the church and bothering the true Christians, from being a trouble to the church. And we need to remove this trouble from the church today. We need the true gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel, which is not a gospel, that somehow we have to be good enough, because we cannot be. And so Paul, having said this, goes on in these next verses, 13 through 15, as well as in the next section of the chapter, which we will, the Lord willing, look at next week, and see that liberty is not an opportunity for the flesh. Christians are called to Christian liberty, reading in verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We're not to use our liberty, our freedom from that law, is an opportunity to sin. Paul says, how can we who are dead to sin continue any longer in it? 1 Peter 2, verse 16, Peter writes, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Rather, we're to use that liberty which God has given to us to serve and to love one another. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. Do we as God's church serve one another in that church, or do we spend our time, as Paul will continue in verse 15, says that we bite and devour one another and even consume one another? We need to hold fast to the Word of God. We need to love one another as God's church, to spread His gospel. And so God's law is fulfilled in our loving our neighbor as ourself. That's what verse 14 says. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans 13, verse 9, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He goes on to say that love does no harm to a neighbor, and therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And we are to love one another, and we are not to bite and devour one another. Galatians 6, verse 2, bearing one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to bear one another's burdens. Paul says to the Thessalonians that we are to know enough about one another in God's church, to care enough about one another, to know what's going on in our lives. And so often this is absolutely the exact opposite of our churches today, that we come together for a few minutes on Sunday mornings, and then we leave. And nobody knows and nobody spends any time feeling and knowing and bearing one another's burdens, but rather we just get together, hear somebody talk for a while, and walk away. And we need to hold fast the doctrine. We need to hold fast the love which God has given to us and to spread that love to one another as those who have received that love from Jesus Christ. We're not to save ourselves by this. We're saved through Jesus Christ, through faith in Him. But yet, we are to live then out of thanksgiving to God for the salvation freely given to us. We are to live out of that salvation in love, in good deeds to our neighbors, to those around us, in gratefulness for what God has given to us in Christ Jesus. And so God's people are not called backward to the law, but forward in the liberty of faith. We're not called backward to save ourselves somehow by doing the deeds of the law. We're called forward in the liberty which God has given to us. And the Lord willing, we will continue to look at that next Lord's Day as we see that we're not to live then in the sins, in the flesh, as an opportunity to sin, but in the grace which God has given to us, God's love, God's salvation, God's liberty gives us the opportunity to live then in many things, not in fear of death, not in fear of punishment, but in gratefulness for what God has given to us in salvation in Christ alone. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning on Start the Week. If you have any questions concerning the things we cover on Start the Week or the Bible in general, feel free to contact us. Our telephone number is 701-288-3265. We invite you to join us for worship at Salem Reformed Church at 9 a.m. at 209 First Avenue Southwest in Ashley, North Dakota. If you are closer to Dickinson, we invite you to First Reformed Chapel of Dickinson. Worship there is at the Dickinson Holiday Inn Express at 10:30 a.m. Sunday mornings. If you would like to listen to this message again or to other sermons by myself and my colleagues, they can be found on the Internet at worldwidewebsermonaudio.com under NPCRCUS. Or just search for my name on sermonaudio.com. If Ashley or Dickinson are too far for you to travel, the Reformed Church in the United States also has churches in Minot and Anamoose in North Dakota, Aberdeen, Eureka, Harriet, Hosmer, Pier, Watertown, Menno, Mitchell, Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Vermilion in South Dakota, Golden Valley and Eden Prairie, and Hamburg in Minnesota. We are giving away free copies of the Heidelberg Catechism, a summary of the scriptural doctrine of sin, salvation, and thankfulness. It includes an explanation of the Apostles' Creed, the Ten Commandments, and the Lord's Prayer. For your copy, please call 701-288-3265 or mail Salem Reformed Church, P.O. Box 345, Ashley, North Dakota, 58413, and we will be glad to send it to you. Well, that's all the time we have this week. We at Salem Reformed Church pray that you would have the comfort of knowing God this week and forever.